chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Before we start, quickly, I almost forgot this. We have this CD, it's called Maranatha Prophecy Series. That we watched this prophecy series quite some time ago, and I have MP3 files here. It's $3. It will open your eyes regarding what's going on in the Middle East, and it explains quite in-depth according to Bible interpretation. Of course, Ezekiel 38, 39, and Daniel chapter 9, and Revelation, all that stuff. So it will be very interesting for your own study, and it's $3 from the bookstore. You can pick it up on the way out. Let's start. This morning's title is Raising the Messiah. How would you like to raise a perfect child? That I know some of you guys think that you have a perfect child at your home, but this perfect child is rather different. This perfect child never talks back to you. That's a perfect, right? And you never have to tell him twice to get his attention. He does his own laundry, he shines his own shoes, and he pick up his own room and clean it. On top of all, you never have to go to the principal's office because he never caused a problem at school. And before you even ask him whether he is going to do the chores or homework, he already finished. And you're thinking, would you let me know what kind of kid this is? I'd like to trade with mine. Well, not yet. How about this? I don't think I like to have that kind of child because he will tell me what I need to be as a daddy. How about this? It can be worse. How would you like to be his sibling? How would you like to be his brother or sister? And he is a perfect brother right there. While you sharpen the devilish horn on your forehead, he has a halo on his top of his head. While you're doing all the bad things, he's completely obedient to parents and the teachers. And while you're getting a bad grade with all the colorful grades, and he's getting all straight A+, make your life just miserable. This is the case in point at the household of Jesus in Nazareth, with the parents and the siblings. We get the rare glimpses of childhood of Jesus Christ from 8 days old all the way to the right before he started his ministry around age 30. We get to see him, what kind of childhood he has. We don't have a whole lot of reference, but we still get to see him. Raising the Messiah is not as easy as we might think. We will stop there and we will pray. Heavenly Father, one of the most privileged things that we get from you, an honor that is raising the children, your gift. You give us that great task of raising the children you entrust us with. We know that we are lacking in wisdom. We know that we are lacking in patience. And we know that we are lacking in love. So we are asking you to give us wisdom, patience, and love that we need from you through the Word. Speak to us this morning that we may understand your way, not so-called Christian and child psychologist's way. We also lift up our troops around the world, and they are fighting for our freedom, fighting for our liberty. Many people think that it's about oil, it's about the political thing. No, before the evil comes to our territory, those people are risking their lives, sacrificing themselves for us to have the freedom in this country. And we also pray for our law enforcement personnel around this community, sheriff department and police department, and state police department, and all the other federal agencies, law enforcement personnel. And we also pray for the firefighters around this area, especially with the fire season right smack dab in the middle. We're asking you to watch over them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 21 of chapter 2 in the book of Luke. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, and the name given by an angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to the Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of a turtle dove or two young pigeons. Jesus was born a Jew, and because he's a Jew, he is subject of the old covenant Jesus himself created. But he redeems us from the law of judgment, not by getting rid of the law, but he was fulfilling its demand. I find the two reference verses that need to go back as we need to take a look at is Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Keep your finger in the book of Luke and move to the right, and you will see first Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then following book would be Galatians as the 6th chapter, and we'll have to go to the 4th chapter of 4th birth. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, exactly what we just read, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we just learned that, and let's move to the left, and the first book of the New Testament is Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Fulfill all this requirement. Just like any other new parent, Joseph and Mary had to observe the three ceremonies as young parents. And one of them, the child he himself had to go through, according to the book of Moses. Let's go one at a time. First one would be the circumcision. Circumcision was done the 8th day of the male child. Every male child, the Jewish child, has to go through these things. Now, it is so sacred, there was that the ceremony, that it could be carried even though it came in the day it landed on the Sabbath. Sabbath is very strict. Nobody can do anything. Every other act, unless it's absolutely essential, nobody could do anything. But this override, circumcision is overriding it. And on that day, the baby's name is revealed and given to him. Second thing that we find is redemption of the firstborn. Redemption of the firstborn. According to Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, every firstborn male, both human being and of cattle, should be dedicated to God. And as we just read, is holy to the Lord. And this ceremony is called as a redemption of the firstborn. But the cattle case, they just sacrifice their cattle or the oxen or whatever. But the firstborn child, you don't want to sacrifice a child. So what they do is they buy it back. They redeem this child back from God by paying 5 shekels price to give it to the priest, and the parents can redeem this child. Third obligation, third ceremony they have to go through is a purification after childbirth. When a woman born a child, if it's a son, she has to wait for 40 days. She's unclean for 40 days. If it's a girl, for 80 days. And I know what your lady's thinking. Is God male chauvinist? I don't know. Ask him. I'm just a dumb preacher, so I cannot answer to you. So you don't ask me that kind of question. I cannot answer it. So just leave a voicemail on my hand. Then you get an answer. If you keep on asking me, I'll say, hello, you're breaking up. That's the answer I'll give it to you. During this time, 80 days or 40 days, the mother can do anything, just like a normal business, carry on business. But however, she cannot enter to the temple or participate in any religious ceremony according to Leviticus chapter 12. At the end of this time, she would come to temple, bring the two different animals. One would be the lamb for the burnt offering. Another one is the pigeon or turtle dove for the sin offerings. Now, it's quite a sacrifice, for many people cannot do that. So God, who is a gracious God, and of course give him an option to choose from. Another option would be bring the two turtle dove or two pigeons. That's also known as the offering of the poor. Technically, it's good, fine, it's not a problem. By looking at this, Joseph and Mary, they brought the two turtle dove. That means they are not rich. Some of you who been in the word of faith movement, that some people tell you that, well, as a carpenter, this is a great job. They had a lot of money. They have Joseph and Mary were rich. From what I just read from the Bible, they were not rich, anything but rich. And they brought the turtle dove, two turtle doves. But what Joseph and Mary did not realize when they brought this little babe Jesus, and they, even though they could not bring the lamb for the burnt offering, they actually brought the perfect Lamb of God. Do you know that? They brought the perfect one without blemish. A couple of important things I must stop here and go over. Number one is a baby dedication. If you've been attending our church for some time, you have noticed that we do not do a baby baptism. The reason why we don't do the baby baptism is not in the Bible. You cannot find it anywhere in the Bible. In other words, a baby baptism is not biblical. It is only to satisfy the parents' religious mind. With all due respect, I disagree with anyone who has baby baptism. To have a baptism, you have to make a conscious, a decisive decision that identifying yourself, publicly declaring that I'm identifying myself with Jesus Christ. I die with Jesus Christ by merging into the water when the person pulls you out because he kind of like you. And then instead of leaving you underwater, he pulled you out of water. That represents resurrection with Jesus Christ. Granted, baptism does not, I repeat, baptism does not save anyone. Okay? You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. Or some people will say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and baptize, you will be saved. Read in context. Biggest issue that those who believe in baptism and is part of the requirement for the salvation is they have to go against Jesus Christ himself. You may say, where do you find it? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that way. Because when you read a portion of the gospel, it says that one of the thief was on the cross, on the right side or left side, I don't know which side. One of them said, Lord, remember me when you into the kingdom. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise today. Problem, folks, that thief couldn't go get baptized. No pun intended. Yes, I am pun intended. He's a kind of stuck. Get it? So he couldn't go anywhere, so he couldn't get baptized. Yet, what did Jesus say? You will be with me in paradise. You going to argue with Jesus? Here's Jesus, here's all the theologians. Who's right? Let all men be liars, that the word of God is what? True. Get settled. Move on. However, baby dedication, we do that in here. Why? Because according to this portion of Scripture, second chapter of Luke, and what it is, it's not any special ceremony, but it can be special to mom and dad. Bring the child, and you've seen, you've witnessed that this child comes here, and I pray for that child. When we do that, parents is promising to God, I will raise this child according to your way, that he and she may walk with you for the rest of your life. That's their promise to raise the child in God's way. Second thing I must bring it to you is God's responsibility as a parent. Unlike other gospel writers, they look at this sin into his gospel to remind us to how God valued the life highly. God has given the children to a parent to as a sacred trust, to name them, to shape them, to mold them, to send them out as on their own as a godly grown-up. What a privilege we receive from Him, participating part of this creation and nurturing another human being. Folks, listen carefully, please. We are living in the age where everything goes. Whatever you feel like, do try it. Somehow the people said, well, you don't want to tell the children. The children must express, let me go back, children must express their emotion freely as they want. This psychologist, I don't know where they get that kind of idea. I know where they get it, probably from the devil. And so that's why we have a bunch of the brats running around and threatening other students and the teachers' lives in school. You go to the supermarket or you go to a grocery store and there's a little kid screaming his head off and mom and dad is oblivious. Why? Because they are so used to with the kids screaming at their face, they don't know what's going on. It's okay to take their little joy into the car and whack him on the boom boom and bring him back, and he'll get the attention. Wow, if I throw a temper tantrum, I get a little pain on my behind knee, and it's not comfortable. That's okay. Folks, discipline is must. If you love that child, you need to discipline. If you don't discipline, if you just let him go as it is, you will have out-of-control monster in your hand for the future. And since you are thinking, well, show me in the Bible, I'll be glad to show it to you. Proverbs chapter 22, please. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. When we discipline the children, we have to discipline them in God's way with love. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Simply just hitting them doesn't count. That's not love. That's a punishment. Chapter 22, verse 15 says, "The foolish is bound up in the heart of a child, and rod of correction will drive it far from it." Folks, listen to one who created this human being. He knows what he's talking about. Father knows best. Rather than listening to so-called child psychologist. There's a Chinese proverb. Some of you heard this. At the end of the day, to whip your child. You may not know why you are whipping the child, but the child should know why he's being whipped. And some of you think, all right, I'm going to use that tonight. Go for it. Verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and about waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. To the mass people swarming, going in and out of temple, how this man, Simeon, old man of God, can just find this child? Jesus was just another baby nestled in the arms of a young mother. No one could pinpoint this child. I mean, no one, except Simeon. The reason is because he was led by the Holy Spirit. He was tuned to the Holy Spirit. Like the prophet of the Old Testament, this person was led by the Holy Spirit, came upon him. Some of the commentators will say he, Holy Spirit, in rare occasion, Holy Spirit dwelled in him. But I, from what I see, it came upon him. There's a three different type of Holy Spirit's manifestation. Number one is Holy Spirit is all over. Because he's omniscient, omnipresent God, he is all over. Number two is Holy Spirit can be upon us. That means Holy Spirit will empower individual for that person to do the job of the God. Number three is Holy Spirit indwell in us. Those who receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior will receive Holy Spirit in us. During that time, Holy Spirit come upon the person, and God will reveal His will by the dreams or vision. Now, how the Simeon recognized this child, Jesus Christ, I don't know. We don't know that. But all we know is by the Holy Spirit. Just another child, probably when this child face peeked through the fold of the infant blanket, he instantly knew this is the child Jesus, the Savior of the world. And he picked him up in the grandfatherly arms and blessed the Jesus child and sang the song of the blessing. And he turned around to the young mother who was just beaming at the blessing of this man and gave a stunning warning, bone-chilling warning, probably went down through the spine of Mary. And the young mother would probably somehow want to take this child away from all evil. Remember this, guys. One day, probably 29-some years later, she would stand at the foot of the blood-stained cross and looking up and seeing her precious child's life is slipping away from him. Nobody, no parents wants to bury their child. That's the most difficult thing you will ever face. But she was warned from the beginning. She knew the destiny is coming. Move down to the verse 36. Now there was one Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of the Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, that she was a great age. That means she's old. That's a nice way of saying it, great age. Had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, and but served God with a fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna endured her own heart-piercing experience. She married to this man for 7 years. After that, she lost her husband. And instead of going for another man, she stayed in the temple, dedicated herself for the work of God for the rest of her life. She could see so many children, so many firstborns, but this one she knew is special. Verse 39. And so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to the Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And verse 40, and the child grew with and become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Between verse 38 and 39, we find several things that happens. Number one, well, after they dedicated, after purification, they went to Bethlehem. They stayed there. How do I know? According to the book of Matthew, first couple chapters, it reveals about the secret that what happened. Magi came and they looked for the king of the Jews from the east, that the star led them to the Jerusalem and then to the Bethlehem. They came and, of course, they conferred with King Herod and they found out that it's in the Bethlehem. They went and worshipped the baby Jesus, child Jesus at the time, and they left. This 60-some years old King Herod, all of a sudden, he felt that there was rivalry against this babe, little kid, child. So I got to get rid of this kid, otherwise I'm going to lose my throne. He's not thinking. Anyway, he tried to kill the child, but of course, by the warning of the angel, they took off in the middle of the night, went to Egypt, stayed there until King Herod died, and they came back. When they came back, they didn't go directly to the Bethlehem, but they rather move up from the Judea up to the Sea of Galilee and stay the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, which is Nazareth. Nazareth is their hometown of Joseph and Mary. It's obscure and safe hometown, and that's why Jesus was also known as Jesus of Nazareth. That kind of sums up of the early life. Jesus' early life reminds us hardship don't always deprive the children of the healthy childhood experience. Abuse and the neglect may steal away the health, but the trial can strengthen to the children as long as parents supply abundant security and comfort and protection. Just because somebody's family is going through the difficulty or poverty, that doesn't mean that child is having a hard life. As long as mom and dad is there and provide what the child needs, and with the love, the child will grow strong. Good example is Abraham Lincoln. Good example is George Washington. There are a slew of people who went through a difficult life, poverty life, but still come ahead. Move down to the verse 41, please. Oh, by the way, some of you heard ask me about the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Jude. And according to the Gospel of Thomas, teenager Jesus, started to create this bird out of clay and heal the blind man. That is bogus. That's not a biblical. First miracle he ever done is at the wedding party, turning the water to wine. Let's move to the verse 41. His parents and went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to the Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the day, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintance. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. When I read this portion, I thought, all right, Jesus ditched his mama. I'm not the only one who ditched my mom when I was a kid. Can you imagine telling somebody, I lost the Messiah. How did you lose Messiah? How did you lose God? How could they lose the track of their own child? This is common nowadays. There's a lot of predators try to steal your children away. During that time, it was no problem. They had a big caravan moving from the to and fro, especially going to the feast of the Passover. So when they have a caravan, usually the little ones and the woman goes ahead, and the man and the older boys will pick up the rear of the caravan. Probably Mary and Joseph each thought, well, Jesus is with the first group, and Mary thought, well, Jesus is with the rest of the group. So they journey until they camped in the one location, and where is the kid? I don't know. I thought you had him. That's what happened. Verse 46, and so now it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Note the word understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor of God with God and man. It was not unusual for a student to pry and ask questions to the teachers of the law in the temple and anxiously waiting for the answers from the teachers. However, it was a different case. It was unusual for the teacher to ask Jesus, and Jesus coming up with the answer that blow their minds away. In other words, the Mary and Joseph's son was going head to head with the most brightest mind in Jerusalem. I believe that when Jesus started to realize his destiny and as a Messiah. I don't believe he was completely realized, but this is a starting point. He grew in his comprehension as a Messiah in prayer, and Holy Spirit revealed more and more each day. Jesus is a wonderful example of young people to follow. Young people, listen up carefully, please. He grew up in a balanced way without neglecting any part of life. His priority is to the will of Father, and he knew how to listen, how to speak, how to ask and write questions. He learned how to work, and he was obedient to the parents. And you're saying, well, because of your parents. Listen up, young people. You think you are invincible. You think you know everything. Is there any teenagers who do not know everything? Of course they know everything. Until they start to grow, and when they become like a 23, 24, all of a sudden, parents start to know a whole lot more than they thought. In their short years, they learn a whole lot of things, right? Folks, young people, we've been there, done that. All the tricks you're coming up with, we tried. So it's not something you know all. You know it all. Whatever you're trying to con your parents with, we tried it. Did it work? No, not really. Young people, and those who are young at heart, listen up. You have an option. You can choose to follow the world. They will give you nice things. They will entice you to follow whatever your heart desires. If you follow that, you might trade that momentary pleasure for eternal soul. Is it worth it? It's not. And you may say, well, that's what you're thinking as an old man. I can tell you this much. This old man was once a child and teenager. I did my share of stupidity. You don't want to go there. Let's make an application. Number one, to raise the children in God's way, consult the Word of God more than so-called Christian child specialist. God knows what He's talking about. Raising children is more than just the task of a parent. We must shape them, mold them, and encourage them to be a man and woman of God, so that they may bring glory to Him. Second thing, abuse and neglect steal away health, but the trial can strengthen to the children as long as the parents supply abundant security, comfort, and protection. Young people, if you have a parent who provides this kind of, be grateful. There's a bunch of many children who do not have this kind of thing. If you want to see it, go down to the Nogales, Mexico with us in the mission trip. See what happened. See what they have. You have no idea. Mom and Dad, you are now off the hook. You cannot lead those children unless you lead them by example. Don't tell them, do what the Bible says, but don't do what I do. You have to do what the Bible says first so that your children can see the example. Children can find the hypocrisy in the parents' heart faster than anyone. So lead them by example through the Word of God with the love of Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and pray.